Obama bashes biz jets again. NBAA responds. AOPA spending on lobbying is down from recent norms. And Congress punts again on FAA reauthorization. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Welcome to the last day of June and the end of the second quarter 2011. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 30th. U.S. President Barack Obama made a couple of really bewildering political moves yesterday. To summarize, he criticized two policy directions he and his party had earlier promoted, and he renewed his attack on general aviation. In a press appearance aimed mainly at moving the debate on raising the federal debt ceiling, the president said that companies should have the right to locate their businesses wherever they want. It was the first time the president has commented on the issue and appeared to refer to the rumble underway between Boeing and the International Association of Machinists over the opening of a new non-union Dreamliner assembly line in South Carolina. What makes the new position odd is it comes after Mr. Obama used recess appointments to stack the National Labor Relations Board with pro-union activists who have recently been doing the bidding of the Machinists Union. One would think that sagging approval ratings would have him shoring up support among unions. So what's this about? Then the news conference moved on to a call for increased taxes to fight the federal deficit. The president called for doing away with tax incentives for the rich, defined loosely as any company making a profit. Quote, "The tax cuts I'm proposing we get rid of are tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, tax breaks for oil companies and hedge fund managers and corporate jet owners," unquote. What's odd about this one is that the accelerated depreciation he's talking about, for which aircraft purchases qualify, was part of his own stimulus program. It incentivizes businesses to buy aircraft earlier than they normally would and has been effective in the past. It hasn't jump-started aviation manufacturing to a significant extent this time, but that also means there's not much revenue to be gained by eliminating the incentive. NBAA President Ed Bolin was on the verge of an aneurysm over the renewed attack on bizjets. Quote, "The president has inexplicably chosen to vilify and mischaracterize business aviation, an industry that is crucial for citizens, companies, and communities across the U.S., and one that can play a central role in the economic recovery he says he wants to promote. The fact is, general aviation is an industry that employs 1.2 million people and generates $150 billion in revenues each year. It's one of the remaining few industries that contributes positively to the nation's balance of trade," unquote. The latest 180s by the administration follow other flips on policies such as offshore drilling by oil companies. It's hard to know what to expect next, and being clueless about where policy will go next is not a great way to get businesses to spend again. AOPA reportedly spent $640,000 on lobbying efforts in the first quarter of 2011, most of it aimed at the federal government on issues such as airport infrastructure and the FAA budget. The Associated Press reports that's down from $780,000 from the same quarter last year and $760,000 in the last quarter of 2009. Among the issues on which AOPA weighed in were allowing more GA movements at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. It also talked to lawmakers on NextGen and focused some of its lobbying efforts on TSA, DHS, EPA, and the FCC. Everybody agrees that reliable FAA funding is urgent, but yet Congress has stalled on the matter yet again. Monday, the U.S. Senate passed an FAA extension by unanimous consent. The bill will fund the FAA through July 22nd. This is the 20th extension since the last long-term FAA reauthorization took place. Lawmakers say the three-week extension is what they need to make a deal on a multi-year authorization. But the Senate is in recess July 4th through the 8th, and the House in recess July 18th through the 22nd. The Airport and Airway Extension Act of 2011, Part 3, also increases excise taxes on aviation fuels, the excise tax on air transportation of persons and property, and the expenditure authority for the Airport and Airway Trust Fund. Congress has not been able to pass a long-term FAA funding bill since the last one expired in 2007. The U.S. Air Force says a KC-135 Stratotanker flew north from Fairchild Air Force Base in Washington State and continued over the North Pole to the transit center at Manas, Kyrgyzstan, in a flight June 21st and 22nd. It was the first time an Air Force air tanker has ever flown this route. The flight followed another June 5th and June 6th mission. in which a C-5M Super Galaxy traversed the Arctic Circle to fly the first direct delivery airlift mission from Dover Air Force Base in Delaware to Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. A 2009 U.S.-Russia transit agreement helped make the new Arctic routes possible, according to U.S. Transportation Command officials. The KC-135 flight over the pole saved the Air Force about 4.5 hours and $54,000. The flight, made possible by close diplomatic cooperation and months of operational planning, could open doors for future efficiencies as well as strengthen global partnerships. Still ahead, Boeing enters the final phase of Dreamliner certification tests. The last shuttle mission now has a launch date. And one airline promises no screaming babies in first class. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 30th. I'm Paul Plack. The Dreamliner may be within sight. Boeing began function and reliability testing and extended operations demonstrations Monday for the 787 Dreamliner. This is the final phase of flight testing prior to certification of the plane. Scott Fancher, VP and General Manager of the 787 program, commented, quote, "The team has created a solid plan for accomplishing the hours and test points required for FNR and ETOPS testing in support of delivery to our customer ANA in the August to September time period," unquote. FNR testing simulates various normal and non-normal operations for the plane in realistic airline-like flight environments. ETOPS refers to extended operations for twin jets, flights that are more than 60 minutes away from a suitable landing field. The scheduled date for the start of the last shuttle flight has been set. Atlantis Commander Chris Ferguson and his three crewmates will start their 12-day mission to the International Space Station with a launch at 11:26 a.m. Eastern Time on July 8th from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Atlantis's STS-135 mission will deliver the Raffaello Multipurpose Logistics Module filled with supplies and spare parts to sustain space station operations after the shuttles are retired. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters won the representation election Monday for all pilots employed by Republic Airways Holdings, based in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Teamsters got 68% of the total vote. After certification by the National Mediation Board, the union will become the official representative of the pilots of Chautauqua, Frontier, Lynx, Midwest, Republic, and Shuttle America. In 2009, Republic Airways placed the winning bid in an auction to acquire then-bankrupt Frontier Airlines. The pre-boarding lineup at Southwest Airlines airport gates has been mocked as a cattle call by some, but American Airlines is joining Southwest in boarding non-premium passengers in the order they checked in. American says the move was made to enhance the travel experience and claims it cut boarding times by 5 to 10%. Flight attendants are complaining the change is causing chaos in the cabin. They say they're receiving an increasing number of early boarding requests because of the change. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that American, again like Southwest, is offering passengers an opportunity to pay an additional fee for the privilege of boarding early. American's charge will be $9 per flight leg. Malaysia Airlines says its ban on babies in the first class section of its Boeing 747s will also be the plan on its recently ordered Airbus A380 Super Jumbos. The airline has ordered six of Airbus's largest airliner, with deliveries expected to begin next year. CNN Travel reports the airline's CEO, Tengku Azmil, expressed his intention to extend the baby ban through a tweet on Sunday. Azmil says there have been complaints from passengers in first class that, after spending a lot of money, they're unable to sleep because of wailing infants. So parents with babies will be moved to business or economy class. And finally today, an attorney who had just had a BRS airframe parachute installed in his Cessna 182 is probably pretty thankful that he spent the money. 2 days after the installation was complete, attorney John Booth Farisi of Holly Springs, Mississippi, pulled the handle on the system after his engine failed on takeoff Monday night. In an email to ANN, BRS President Larry Williams explained, quote, "The parachute system installation was just finished, and the pilot owner picked the plane up. During takeoff, the engine quit over trees, and the pilot deployed the chute at 300 to 400 feet. The pilot was able to get out of the aircraft, but has knee and back injuries and is currently in the hospital," unquote. Williams says this is the second system the same pilot has purchased from BRS. He also bought the sixth BRS 172 system, which was installed by the same firm that installed his 182 system. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.